we're holding on Nunbeyiz Ahmed Beyz, the third line of the wide lines. We learned yesterday in the Mishnah that you have a case where a man is Makadish a woman using his portion of Korbanos, and we said that it's no good, ain't a Makadishus. So now let's expand on that. Kodshim Kalim is easy enough to understand because those can be eaten anywhere in Yerushalayim, so conceivably a man could take a portion of that in Yerushalayim and be Makadish a woman. But we're going to focus over here on the Kodshim Kodshim, which have to be kept in the Azara. So the Gemara tells, Tan Rabbanan, La'achap tirosi shor ha-meir. After the mayor passed away, Omelahem Rabbi Yehuda la-tamidav, then Rabbi Yehuda said to his tamidim, Al yukonsu tamidir ha-meir la-kan. We should not allow Rameir's Talmidim to come into here, to come into the Beis Medrash. Now, of course, after their Rebbe having passed away, they're going to want to. So therefore, but don't allow them in, says Rabbi Yehuda. They should come to running him because they're argumentative. They'd come in here to give us a hard time, basically. And there's a couple of explanations among the Mephoshim what exactly Rabbi Yehuda's problem with them is. Among them is one explanation is that they're the type where the Maharam Padva actually writes in one of his Truvas that it means that they would be picky about any little mistake, even if it's not really that negaya to the main argument. And we all know people like that where you make a little mistake and they jump all over it, even though it's not really negaya to the actual main thing. So he's saying the Meir's Talmidim are like that. And okay, they have explanations, of course, that Rameir's Talmidim are doing it L'Shem Shemayim, but still Rabbi Yehuda didn't like that attitude, and maybe it's not 100% L'Shem Shemayim, etc., so they shouldn't come in here. The Lord Lumut Torah Heim Boyim, and they're not really coming to learn Torah, El Kapcheni Ba'alochas Heim Boyim. They're just coming to cut me off in halachas, meaning they're going to hear what I have to say, and then they're going to start asking a whole bunch of questions and slugging them up, and they're not really for the sake of Torah Lashma. However, Dochak Sumchos V'nichnas, Sumchos, who was one of the top Talmidim of Rameir, he pushed his way in and came in. You see from that, in other words, that a person should make an effort, even if he's being told he shouldn't be in the Beis Medrash, he should still push his way, he should still work in to get in anyway. Anyway, Omer Lahem, at one point, Sumchos says to them, Kach Shonali Rameir, this is what Rameir taught me, as it says in our Mishnah, Hamakadosh Bechelka, Ben Kodshim Kodshim, Ben Kodshim Kalim Loi Kiddush, that if a man is Makadosh a woman with his portion of the Korbanos, whether Kodshim Kodshim or Kodshim Kalim, then it's not valid Kiddushim, like it said in our Mishnah. The point is, Sumchos is bringing this up. He wants to know whether Rabbi Yehuda would agree with it. However, Kos Rabbi Yehuda Aleihem, Rabbi Yehuda got angry at his students. That Sumchos is there in the first place. Omelahem, he says to them, Loi kach amauti lachem, how he consumed Talmidim of Meir lakan. Didn't I tell you that a Meir's Talmidim shouldn't come in here, Mepnei shekantaronim heim, because they're argumentative. V'loi lumud Torah heim boim, al kapcheni v'halochas heim boim. They're not coming to really learn Torah, they're just coming to argue with me in halochas. So here's an example of that, says Rabbi Yehuda. How, why is a Meir teaching his Talmidim that you can't be Makadosh with Kodshi Kodshi? Kodshi Kodshim belong in the Azara anyway. V'chi'isha ba'azara minayin. What is a woman doing in the Azara? Now, you can't take the Kodshi Kodshim out of the Azara. They'd become posel. And that means even if you take them out to the Ezra's Nashim, women don't go into the Ezra's Yisrael. So Rashi says that women don't go in, as it says in the first parak of Masech the Kalim. It lists over there, the Mishnayos list one after the other, the various levels of Kedusha, starting from Eretz Yisrael is more Kaddish than other lands, and then within Eretz Yisrael, Yerushalayim has greater Kedusha, et cetera, and it goes step by step until we reach the highest level, the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So Rashi says, it says over there, that women don't go, that women are not allowed into the Azara. Now the fact is, it doesn't actually say that in so many words over there. It says other things. It says that the Ezra Yisrael or Mechusah Kippurim is not allowed to go in there. It doesn't say anything about women. What it says is that Yisraelim can only go in there only when they need to, for example, to do smicho, shchita, or to do tnufa. So and in fact, Tosfos says the fact is based on that. After all, women are allowed to shecht korbanos, so they and a soter and a zira, as we learned in the previous perek, are do tnufa with their korbanos. So therefore, they do sometimes go into the azara. So Tosfos says, okay, what we should say is not that women are not allowed into the azara, but it's highly unusual because it would be a bizoyan. So it would be a bizoyan for her to go in there just for somebody to be mekadosh her. She's going in there, sure, for this occasional thing, for shchita or for tnufa. But Rabbi Yehuda is saying, what is Rabbi Meir phrasing it that you can't be mekadosh with kodshim when, according to Tosfos, is saying not that women are not allowed in there, but it's highly unlikely that they're going to go in there. Various achronim reconcile what Rashi is saying and find ways. There's in fact a Yerushalmi that seems to say that women are not allowed in there. Rabbi Yaakov Emden gives a different explanation that, practically speaking, if women go in there, you're going to have mixing of men and women. The whole point why you have an Ezra's Noshim, and the whole point why doing Simchas Beis HaSheva, why you have the separation, why you have the balcony for the women, is so men and women don't mingle. If a woman goes into the Azara, then you're going to have mingling. So for that reason alone, she wouldn't. Anyway, the bottom line is Rabbi Yehuda is saying a woman is not going to be in the Azara, either because she's never going to be in there or because at least it's highly unlikely she's going to be in there and Kedushin are going to be done. So what is Rabbi Meir saying, this expression that HaMekadosh B'Kodshe Kodshim Einu Mekodeshes, how would that scenario even be possible in the first place? So in short, Rabbi Yehuda is not answering the question. He's saying that the whole question is irrelevant. Omer Rabbi Yossi, said Rabbi Yossi, who was also there in the Beis Medrash, says. And by the way, we had almost the same kind of thing with Rabbi Yehuda saying Rabbi Meir's Talmidim shouldn't come in, and Sumchus coming in and saying something in the name of Rabbi Meir, and Rabbi Yehuda getting angry, and Rabbi Yossi defending him, etc. We had a very similar thing in Nazir. So several months ago, involving also halacha that Rabbi Meir had said. So B'Pashtos, it was one time where Sumchus came in and reported these two halachas, and Rabbi Yehuda got angry, and so on and so forth. Anyway, Omer Rabbi Yossi. So Rabbi Yossi says, I have to speak up. Yoimru, otherwise the Talmidim are going to say, Meir Shochav, Meir has passed away and he can't defend himself anymore. Yehuda Koas, Yehuda got angry. And Bolachlal Kas, Bolachlal Tos, once he got angry, then it means that he's going to make a mistake and he's not really going to be able to figure out what the correct answer is. If Yossi Shosak, so Rabbi Yossi continues, if I myself stay quiet, Torah Matahe Olea, what's going to happen with words of Torah? In other words, people are going to think that what Rabbi Meir said is wrong. So Ben Yehoyada teaches out that Rabbi Yossi means like this. Mela, if it was just that Rabbi Meir passed away and he can't defend himself, the Talmudim would say, no, that doesn't show we slogged him up. This shows he can't speak up in his own behalf. If Rabbi Yehuda only is angry, then fine. Then people are going to say, okay, you know, bolachlal kas, bolachlal tos. But now, I'm neither dead nor angry. If I don't say something, people are going to think there's taka no way to explain what Rabbi Meir says, and they're going to think that he was schlugged up. So therefore, I have to speak up on behalf of Rabbi Meir. And so Rabbi Yossi says, let me explain. Couldn't it be possible that the father receives kiddushin on behalf of his daughter who's a tana in the Azara? And the man is certainly allowed in the Azara. Couldn't you conceivably have that a woman appoints a shliach to receive her kiddushin in the Azara? So, it doesn't matter whether she's a Kohen or not.
Especially if he's a Kohen.
If the guy is a Kohen, sure, but even Yisrael is allowed into the Azara. When we say in the Azara itself, you have Ezra Yisrael, Ezra's Kohenim, Beina Ulam Alam Mizbeach, etc., but all of those have the same din, I shouldn't say all of those. Ezra Yisrael and Ezra's Kohenim have the same degree of Kedusha insofar as only a Toher, a non-Mechosa Kippurim, etc., is allowed to go in there. Generally, the Yisraelim stick to the Ezra Yisrael, which is a strip 11 amos wide. They are allowed into the Ezra's Kohenim when necessary, for example, for Smicha or Tnuf or what have you. But in terms of level of Kedusha, they're the same thing. So at least, for example, in other words, in particular, Kodshe Kodshim can be eaten in the Ezra's Yisrael just as much as in the Ezra's Kohenim. So therefore, it's easy enough to have that she could appoint a shliach and tell him, you receive my kedushin on my behalf. And then if the kedushin happens to be kodshim kodshim, then fine, you're going to eat it in the azara over there because I won't be able to come in and eat it. Kodshim kodshim would be only a kohen. So yeah, there. So you're right. There would have to be a kohen. Yeah, fine. Okay, so she could appoint a shliach for that purpose. And also, you have to ask, what if she does push her way in? It's true that normally women are not in the azara, but the fact is, it could happen that somehow she makes it in there. So. So all of those are relevant cases to ask about. So therefore, it's quite relevant for the mayor to be talking about Hamakadosh Bekodshe Kodshim, because you do have these various scenarios where it could conceivably happen, and then we have to talk about what happened. So again, we could say, why didn't Rabbi Yehuda realize these things? You could say again, Bolachal Kas, Bolachal Tos. He got angry, therefore he made a mistake and he didn't think of these things. With that said, though, a couple of Achronim talk about various possibilities why Rabbi Yehuda didn't think of this. Among them, Pnei Yeshua says, look, I understand you could have those cases, but come on, they're all very uncommon. So therefore, why is your mayor talking as though it's such a common case? Okay. So now having reconciled what the mayor meant by that, now let's talk about the actual din. Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda, I'm a Mekudeshes, Rabbi Yossi, I'm a Mekudeshes. So now Rabbi Yehuda says that if a man is Mekadesh with Kodshib, then she is Mekudeshes. And in fact, what you have over here, so in fact, the Shittel or Nodalami says, after all this discussion, then Rabbi Yehuda agreed with Rabbi Yossi. The fact is, such a scenario is possible, even with Kodshib. Therefore, we have to talk to the din about it. So now he says, I disagree with Rabbi Meir. I would say Mekudeshes. Rabbi Yossi, I mean, ain't a Mekudeshes. And Rabbi Yossi would say that not. So Rabbi Yossi agrees with Rabbi Meir on that.
Why in the business? Why?
Because that's what we're going to discuss now. So both Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi, who agrees with him, versus Rabbi Yehuda, who disagrees, are both actually learning from the same pasuk. The pasuk says about the portions of the korbanos that go to the kohenim, these shall be for you from the holy of holies, from the fire. So Now, it's talking about the korbanos in general, but it means particularly the kodshe kodshim, which again, any portions of those that are going to be eaten are eaten by the kohenim, chatos, osham, all of those are kodshe kodshim, shizivche shamit sibur, etc. Anyway, now the word l'cha in the pasuk is extra. So what do we do with it? So Rabbi Yehuda savar, l'cha means l'chol tzrachecha. Rabbi Yehuda says that the word l'cha means you can use it for all your purposes. Therefore, you can use it for kedushin. Fine, you have to eat it in the azara and you have to be tahor, etc. But you can also use it for your purposes such as kedushin. Rabbi Yossi savar, Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Meir would hold that no, it means ka'ech. It means the fact that the pasuk compares it. It says min ha'ech, from the fire, means that's compared to fire. Ma esh la'achila, afhu nami la'achila. Just like the part that goes into the fire is meant for the mizbeach to eat it, to consume it, the same way you, the kohen, are only allowed to consume it, not to use it for anything else. So not to have the hana from it of using it for kedushin, right? So Mar Shah actually says that leaving aside Rashi, he says Lule Rashi, if it weren't for that Rashi explained it that way, he would say you have to explain differently. I mean, he says, after all, so what? Why wouldn't we say it? It's me Kodesh HaKadoshim Min Ha'esh. So maybe it means that we're actually saying that you could use it for that. So Mar Shah explains, in other words, that when the Gemara is going to go on to say that then they voted in the Beis Medrash and decided on the halacha. So Mar Shah explains that actually they were so like this. We're going to say over here that let's learn the next line of the Gemara. Then we'll talk about what Mar Shah says. So now, Omer Rabbi Yechanan, Nimnu v'gamru, so Rabbi Yechanan says, they voted in the Beis Medrash, and they decided, Hamakadosh b'chalka, ben kodshim kodshim, ben kodshim kalam, loy kiddush. So he says that in the end, in other words, Rabbi Yehuda ended up agreeing that Rabbi Yehuda ended up agreeing with the other Chachamim, that Eina Mekudeshes, like Rameyu and Rabbi Yossi had said. So now, here's where Mar Shah says, Maybe not, actually. Maybe this Nimnu v'Gomru means that just the opposite. They decide that even by Kodeshim Kalin, the Kedushin don't work. Because even though the Pasuk is saying, Zei Yelacha v'Kodesh HaKedushim Min HaEsh, the point is anything that the Kohenim receive is from the fire. And again, we're saying, therefore, that means that originally Rabbi Yehuda would have held that Mekudeshes, but only with Kodeshim Kalin. Now we'd be saying that no, even with Kodeshim Kalim, we'd be saying, according to Rabbi Yochanan, that even by Kodeshim Kalim, it wouldn't work. Anyway, Kodeshim Kalim can be eaten anywhere in Yerushalayim, but nevertheless, we would say the Kohenim's portion is exclusively for them to eat, and the owner's portion maybe also, and not for them to do Kedushin with.
Well, if someone brings his own shalom, then
if somebody brings his own... So there are Rishonim who learn. I didn't really get into this yesterday, but there are Rishonim who learn. There's a Tosfos in Baba Kama, for example, that learns that, yes, the owner's portion, sure, he could be Mekadosh with. That's considered his own mammon, but he would be focusing on the Kohenim's part. Yesterday, we talked about over here, a number of the Mephoshim learn that it means both the Tosfos, for example, says over here that it means both the portion of the Kohen and the portion of the owner. Okay, anyway. The Rav Oma Adayin Hi Machloikas. Rav says the Machloikas still persists. They did not vote on it and decide like what Rabbi Yochanan is saying, to all decide, according to Rashi, that she's not Mekudeshes, with Kodshim Kodshim, or according to Marashah, that even with Kodshim Kalim, Rav says Rabbi Yehuda still maintained his opinion that she is Mekudeshes. So Abaya says it seems more logical to accept Rabbi Yochanan's version that Rabbi Yehuda changed his mind. And we're going to bring a long braisa now, which when we come to the end of it, then we'll see how we see that apparently Rabbi Yehuda changed his mind. Tanya, we learn in a braisa. This braisa comes from Toras Koinim, which is the Medrash Halacha on Sefer Vayikra. So it goes like this: Minayin shein chokim menachas keneged zvachim. Now we know the koyanim are getting portions of each korban. How do we know that they can't trade a mincha for a korban? We can't say, let's say, for example, so Reuven brought a mincha, Shimon brought an animal korban. How do we know that two koyanim among themselves can't say, you know what? Why should we bother splitting the mincha? I'm not interested in eating from this mincha. How about we trade? I'll take the whole shirayim from this mincha and eat it, and in return the other guy's korban, you can eat the whole thing. How do we know you're not allowed to do that? Therefore, the pasuk says, "V'chol mincha asher te'ofa b'tanur." The pasuk says, "Any mincha that's baked in an oven, which is one of the types of menachas, l'chol b'nei Aaron tia, it should be to all the sons of Aaron." So that implies that each mincha itself has to be divided among the sons of Aaron. Well, continues the braisa, "Yochol lo yachloku menachas keneged zvachim." Fine. So you would think that means you can't trade a mincha for a zevach, shalakamu tachteim bedalus, because we don't find a connection between them when a person is poor, when a person has to bring a korban olav yodin for certain kinds of averas. So if he's rich, he brings an animal. If he's poorer, he brings two birds. And if he's the poor wrist, he brings a mincha. So there's no direct connection between them, because you can't have that a person goes from animal all the way to mincha. Maybe you should be allowed to trade a mincha for a bird korban. Again, I'll eat this whole mincha, you'll eat the bird korban. Because after all, they do substitute for them when a person is poor, where instead, if he can't bring the bird, then he brings a mincha. Tamud Laiman, no. Therefore, the pasuk continues. The whole pasuk goes like this: V'chol mincha asher te'ofer b'tanur. Any mincha that is, you have two psukim back to back. V'chol mincha asher te'ofer b'tanur. Any mincha that's baked in an oven. V'chol nasa v'marcheshes v'amachva. So any mincha that's prepared in a marcheshes, which is a deep frying pan, over machva, so in a shallow frying pan. It should belong to the Kohen who offered it, which means not really the Kohen who offered it, but it means any Kohen who's capable of offering it, meaning any Kohen who's Tohar at the time and in the Bais HaMikdash. And then the next pasuk continues, V'chol mincha v'lulav Hashem and v'chareva, any mincha that's mixed with oil, or any mincha that's dry, meaning like a mincha soto or whatever, l'chol b'nei Aaron, tia ish ka'achiv, it should be for all the children of Aaron equally. So therefore, so in other words, the Gemara is paraphrasing over here that it says, first it says, V'chol mincha asher to'af batanu, and it finishes off the chol b'nei Aaron to yeah. Then it continues with V'chol nasa v'mar cheshes, and again, the next pasuk continues, V'chol b'nei Aaron to yeah. So therefore, we have the same kind of thing that the pasuk is implying that any mincha that's fried in a deep frying pan has to be split up among the children of Aaron. Yeah. You can't say that we're going to trade, I'll eat this one, you'll eat the next one, or whatever. The Rambam, by the way, this was in Rambam Shloisha Perakim a couple of days ago. The Rambam points out, Sataka, why does the Pasuk split it up and make it sound like one kind goes only to the Kohen who offered it and the other one goes to all the Kohenim? The Rambam says, because Fakir, the Pasuk is stressing when it comes to a baked mincha, fine, it's already baked. You get a small piece of it, fine, you can still eat it on the spot. There's not that much of a chiddush that every Kohen should get a piece of it. But when it comes to an unbaked mincha, you're going to think, a guy's going to think, so we have 100 Kohenim over here. We're going to split up any soda and a flour between all of us. Each of us is going to get only a pinch of flour. What am I going to do with a pinch of flour? I can't bake it. It's too small to make anything useful out of. Maybe we should be able to trade. Therefore, the Pasuk is telling you, no trades.
Can you give it away? You know?
Yeah, so there is actually, there is a Machlokas Achronim. The Sfasemis actually wants to say that you could give it away to another Kohen. You just can't. You can't make a trade. But in other words, you can say, "Yeah, I'm not really going to be able to eat this. It's too small to eat. So therefore, I'll just give it to one of my fellow Kohenim." Other Achronim disagree with that. Anyway, continues the Braisa. Yochol yachol k'menachas k'neged oifus. Now you would think, fine, you can't trade a mincha for a bird, because they're two different types of korbanos. A bird korban involves blood on the mizbeach. A mincha is only flour. Some of the flour is burnt on the mizbeach, but nonetheless, it's still not the same type of korban. Maybe you should be allowed to trade a bird for an animal korban, because they both involve blood on the mizbeach. Note, therefore, the pasuk also adds any mincha that's fried in a shallow frying pan. Now, again, there's no logical reason that you would say that there should be a difference between one and the other. So it means that any kind of korban like that. So in other words, it's one of these im eina inyan. You don't need it to tell us in particular about a pan fried mincha. Therefore, instead we take it and we use it for a similar case about birds and animals. Okay, next. Now you could still argue that fine. The reason why the Torah is telling you can't trade a bird for an animal, because after all, a bird is killed by hand with malika, with the Kohen's fingernail, and an animal korban is shechted with a keli, with a knife. Maybe you are allowed to trade one mincha for another. Both of them involve the Kohen's hand, because he takes kmitza with his hand. The pasuk continues, any mincha that's mixed with oil has to be divided among all the children of Aaron. And yochol yachloku machvas keneged marcheshes or marcheshes keneged machvas. Now you could argue that fine, if you have a mincha baked in a shallow frying pan versus a deep one, then you could say you can't split, you can't trade one for the other. Shazuma same rakim, bazuma same koshim, because there is a difference. The ones that are in the deep frying pan are very soft. The ones in the shallow frying pan are hard. Two ways of understanding what that is. Rashi explains that the machvas is basically flat. So therefore, what happens is the dough itself spreads across the entire width of the pan, and because there's much more exposed surface area of oil, therefore most of the oil burns off, and you wind up with something like a pancake, which is much stiffer. As opposed to an amarcheshes is a deep pan, so the oil doesn't get burnt off as easily, and the dough itself doesn't have room to spread out as much, so it stays more like a ball. So therefore, it winds up coming out soft. The Rambam explains it a little bit differently. He says to begin with, the one that's to be fried in a machbas to begin with is made in a harder consistency. The one that's to be made in a machashes is made of a softer consistency. Yeah, more water, less water, whatever it is exactly. Yeah. So in any case, you would think, so fine, you would say one is hard, one is soft. Therefore, maybe the Torah is telling you that you can't trade them. But if you have two people bring a korban mincha that's made in a machvas, maybe you should be allowed to trade one for the other. Because both of them are hard or both of them are soft. No, the pasuk says any dry mincha also has to be split up evenly among all the children of Aaron. And finally, the Braisa says, now you would think that all of that only applies to Kodesh Kodeshim. Everything that we've discussed so far, the Menachos, the Brud Korbanos, or Chatois and Olos, Chatois we're talking about particularly because the Kohenim eat them, and all of those, and the animal Korbanos, also we can be talking about Kodesh Kodeshim, Avo Yachloko Kodeshim Kalim. Maybe they are allowed to trade among Kodeshim Kalim. They're allowed to say, you take this chos v'shoik of this one, and I'll take from the next one. No, Talmud Lema, ish ka'achiv. The pasuk finishes off with the words ish ka'achiv, a man like his brother. Then v'somich lei, and right after that, in the pesukim, you have im al toida, where the pasuk says, where if a person brings a korban toida. Now a toida is one of the kodshim kalim. Therefore, the implication is k'shem shein chokim v'kodshim kodshim, kachin chokim v'kodshim kalim. So the same way as they're not allowed to trade when it comes to Kodesh Kodeshim, the same way they're not allowed to trade when it comes to Kodeshim Kalim, such as a Toida. Tosfos actually points out, we're not really learning from Smuchim over here, as in you have two separate things where the Pasuk just puts them one after the other, because we're talking over here, the Gemara is going to explain in a minute, that this whole Braisa goes according to the Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda himself holds in other places in Shas that you doubt, we learned in Yevamos, for example, that you doubt in Smuchim only in Sefer Devarim. He holds in the rest of the Torah, there's no significance that we can doubt in from Smuchim. And this is in Chumash Vayikra. Only in Devarim, so that we talked about there in Yevamos, why that is, because Devarim is Moshe's speech to the Jewish people. So, in other words, when it comes to the rest of the Torah, Hashem dictated to Moshe at different times, so therefore there's not necessarily a kesher between one and the next, but Devarim is Moshe speaking continuously, so therefore there's a connection. Anyway, the point is, Tosfos says, really what we mean over here is the fact that the part about the Torah begins with a Vav. Viz zoys Torah zavach hashlamim. So therefore, that Vav ties it to the previous part. So therefore, in other words, we're downshining, it should be to all the sons of Aaron, and the same law applies to a Zevach HaShlamim and to a Toda, which are Kodshim Kalim. So you can't do that by Kodshim Kalim either. And when the Pasuk says Ish Ka'achim, why does it say Ish? It means Ish Cholet, means any man among the Kohenim gets to divide, gets to get a portion of the Korbanos. And that means even a Baal Mum, even though he can't do the Avodah, the Pasuk tells us in Parashas Emor that he can eat from the Korbanos. He's also therefore entitled to receive a share of the Korbanos. In other words, it's not just that another Kohen receives a share and he can say, I have Rachmanos on you, I'll give you some to eat. No, the Baal Mum alone is entitled to his own individual share of the Korban. But the word ish means a cotton does not get a portion, even if the child is a tam, because he's not an ish. Okay, so that's the Braisa. Now that we learned the Braisa, let's consider, says Abaya, stam sifra mani, the same way as we have stam mishnah and a mayor, a stam sifra goes according to Rabbi Yehuda. The Gemara tells us in Sanhedrin, stam mishnah Rabbi Meir, stam sifra Rabbi Yehuda, stam sifri is, I think, Rabbi Shimon, and so forth, and all of them are a libra de Rabbi Akiva. All of them are based on what they learned from Rabbi Akiva. So when you have a stam statement in sifra, like this one that we just quoted, means it's from Rabbi Yehuda. V'huka Omar, and so he himself is saying, delesba din chaluka klal, that there's no din of dividing it at all. In other words, that even by Kodshim Kalim, that whether by Kodshim Kodshim, whether by Kodshim Kalim, we're not saying that a person is entitled to say, look, this is my money, this is my thing, I can do whatever I want with it within the guidelines the Torah says, therefore I can trade it to somebody else for a part of another carbon. No, we don't say that. Therefore, that shows that Rabbi Yehuda holds, it's not considered his mammon. Shmamina, therefore that shows Rabbi Yehuda changed his mind, and in fact, like Rabbi Yochanan says, and in fact ended up agreeing that it's not considered his as far as Kiddushin. In fact, there is something from Reb Chaim Brisker where he explains that it is considered his to a limited extent, to the extent that he can eat it, but it's not considered his. Basically, what it is it's considered his for certain purposes, but not for others in this particular case. It's not his as far as Kiddushin. And or as far as trading it to somebody else. Again, you do have a point. The Sfasemis says that he could decide, you know, forget about trading. Fine, I'm not going to eat from this korban. You take my portion, but other Achronim disagree with that as well. Fine. Omar Rabba. However, so therefore, so Abaye says. So you see from that more like what Rabbi Yochanan is saying, that Rabbi Yehuda changed his mind. Now, on the other hand, though, we said Rav had said at the top of the Amud, Adayin hi machloikas. Rav disagreed with Rabbi Yochanan and said Rabbi Yehuda never changed his mind. So what are we going to do according to Rav? So Omar Rava, Uch Rav mi leitanya. So what, says Rava? Don't we also have a brisa like Rav? Very well, then you have a machloikas among the brises themselves. What happened? Whether a koyan is considered to be the owner of his portion of kodshim kalim, and therefore whether he can be or even kodshim, and therefore whether he can be mekadosh with them. But Hatanya, we learn in another brisa when it comes to dividing up the lechem upon him, hatsnuim moshchil. So first the first part of the brisa, which is in Masechta Yoma, which the Gemara is not bringing over here, says that until, as long as Shimon HaTzadik was alive, up until Shimon HaTzadik passed away, there was a bracha in the lachem upon him, and even a person would get a tiny portion of it and he'd feel full. But after that, there was a me'era, there was a curse in it, and a person might even get a large portion and he wouldn't feel full. And the fact is, there were a lot of koyanim. So what would happen? So atznuim moshkenas yedeim, the more tzniestika ones, would pull back their hands. They would hold back from taking the lechem upon him because they would figure, look, we're not going to get filled from it anyway. And the Minchas Chinuch adds, we're not going to be having a kazayas from it anyway, so we're not even yotze the mitzvah of eating, so we may as well not bother. V'hagagronin, on the other hand, the gluttonous people, chokim, they would divide up the lechem upon him among them. So now, what does that mean? It sounds like tznuim. It sounds like the tznuim are saying to the gargaronim, we don't want from the lechem upon him. We'll give you our portion, and you can eat it instead of us. And in return, you'll give us some other portion of kodshim kalim. So therefore, that shows that they would be able to do that. And in fact, the lechem upon him themselves are kodshim. So they could do that on the face of it. So that shows, in other words, that now we don't find Rabbi Yehuda disagreeing. Evidently, Rabbi Yehuda would agree with what it says in this braisa. So we see that according to Rabbi Yehuda, it would still remain the case that they can trade like that, because it sounds like that's what Tznuim were doing. They're saying to the Gagoranim, look, we don't want to go and start trying to grab a tiny piece of lechem upon him anyway, so we may as well trade it, and you'll take my portion from this, and in return I'll take your portion from something else. However, the Gemara says that's not a proof, because you could say my chokim choitvim. Because you could say the word chokim doesn't mean that they actually made a trade ahead of time. It means they were grabbing. That they're chappers, so they're grabbing the lechem upon him, so the tznuim maybe would be getting a portion. But what would happen is that the gargaronim would be grabbing it away, would grab it away from them, or even to begin with, that they would push their way forward and they would grab and they would and then the tznuim wouldn't even have a chance. In fact, the Gemara says, Kid Katani Sefer, as in fact the Sefer of the Braisa continues, it happened once that one coin grabbed not only the portion that should have gone to him, but also a portion to somebody else. That person, and the grabber, till the day he died, they called him Ben Chamtson, which the Gemara is going to explain in a second, means the grabber. So we see, in other words, that it's still a matter of grabbing, not a matter of making, not a matter of calmly making deals right to divide beforehand. In fact, the idea is, before Shem explained, the implication is that he grabbed from a fellow choytif, because if he grabbed from the tznuin not going to call him nicknames because he did that. They're tznuin, they're chsidim. So therefore, we have to be saying that he grabbed from another choytif, and that other choytif gave that nickname. So what's this word chamtson? Amar Rav Bar Rav Shila Maikra. Where's a pasuk where we see that the word chamtson means a grabber? As we find in Tehillim, Elokai Haltenim Yad Rasha, Dovra Melech Davins, Hashem, save me from the hand of the Rasha, Mikaf Ma'avel V'choymetz, from the hand of the person who commits injustice and choymetz. So we see that a choymetz is a thief or a grabber or whatever. Rabbi says you have a different pasuk where we see it more clearly. The Navi says to the Jewish people, "Limdu hativ, learn to do good, learn to improve your ways. Dirshu mishpat, analyze the judgment. Don't just make snap judgments. Whether you're a dayan and a beis din, whether it's a one yid against another, whatever. Don't rush to judgment. Ashru chometz, strengthen the chometz." Elsewhere, the Gemara explains that what that means is chomets would be, like we said, the grabber. Chomets means the one who was wronged. So therefore, in other words, strengthen him by doing the did Torah carefully and deciding what restoring to him what belongs to him. So we see also from that that the word chomets and chomets have to do with robbery. So therefore, this guy who grabbed a piece from somebody else was nicknamed Ben Chamtzan. Ben Yehoyada has a cute vote on it. He says, after all, I mean, eating the lechem upon him is a mitzvah, but you have like this, we know that there's an association between the hay for a mitzvah and a ches for a mitzvah that's not quite so good. That's why you have matzah versus chometz, for example. So this guy is doing not really the shem shemayim, therefore his hay of mitzvah turns into a ches, and also his vav, which also the Zohar tells us the vav is the letter of truth, then he sort of distorted it into a langanon, which is like going below the line, which represents like going into Kirchas HaTumah. Therefore, you take the letters Mem Tzadik of Mitzvah, which didn't get changed. You take the Vav and transform it into a Langanun, and the Hey into a Ches, and rearrange it. Then you have Chamtzan. So that's why they nicknamed him that, and in token of yes, you did the mitzvah, but you did it in a very in a very improper way and not l'shem shemayim. Fine. So the point is, in other words, that so therefore, the Gemara is saying, you, Rava, are trying to bring a proof from there to Rabbi Yehuda that the Kohenim actually were allowed to divide up, that were allowed to trade and say, I'm not going to eat from this. You take a different portion of mine instead. Lav Davka, because you can say these Gargaronim are not making a deal to begin with. They're just grabbing. Okay. We said in the Mishnah, now turning, so that's as far as being the Kaddish with Kodshim. Now, we said in the Mishnah, Maisa Sheni, Ben B'Shogi Ben Mezid L'Kiddush Divid HaMeir. Rav Meir had said, if you're Makadish with Maisa Sheni, whether it was B'Shogi or B'Mezid, then the Kiddushin is not valid. Rav Yehuda, I'm B'Shogi L'Kiddush Mezid Kiddush. And Rav Yehuda says, if it was B'Shogi, it's not valid Kiddushin, but if it's Mezid, it is. So Menahanimili, where do we get all this from? That why is Rav Meir saying that you can't be Makadish with Maisa Sheni at all? In other words, now what it boils down to is Reb Meir is saying that Maisa Sheni is Momen Gavoya, that Maisa Sheni essentially belongs to Hashem, and he's giving you permission to eat in Yerushalayim, and therefore, if it's Hashem's Momen, then it means you can't use it for your purposes such as Kiddushin. So how do we know that? So Amar Rav Acha Breiderov Meshmei de Gemara. Rav Acha Breiderov says, in the name of the Gemara. So in the name of the Gemara, Rashi explains, is this is how the Bnei Beis HaMedrash all know this. They all are clear on this, that this is where it comes from. Elsewhere, Rashi says somewhat differently, that it means that all the Bnei HaYeshivas in all the Yeshivas learn this way, like we have Abaye, have Masada, Mishmei de Gemara. Anyway, so they learn in the Yeshivas like this. The Pasuk says, V'chol Masa Oretz Mizera Ha'oretz V'priya Eitz, all the miser of the land, from all the seeds that are planted in the land, from all the fruits of the tree, Lashem Hu, it belongs to Hashem, Kodesh Lashem, it's holy to Hashem. So that word Lashem implies Lashem Hu, Lo L'Kadosh Baisha. It belongs to Hashem. It's not yours to be Makadosh a woman. So yeah, and by the way, there is Machlokas Rishonim. What kinds of produce are Chayav and Maisim and Atorah? According to Rashi, only grain, grapes, and olives are Chayav and Atorah. So Zera Ha'oretz over here would refer to grain, and Pri Ha'etz would refer to grapes and olives. According to the Rambam, all tree fruits are Chayav and all grain, and all tree fruits are Chayav and Maisim and Atorah. So according to him, Pri Ha'etz would include also figs and dates and apples and so forth. Everybody agrees that Maisim are vegetables is only the Rabbanim. Anyway, the point is that since the Pasuk is saying Lashem, then the implication is it's not there, L'Kadosh Ba'isha. But the Gemara asks, Hari Trumas Meiser, what about Trumas Meiser? Dichtiv Kein Torimu Gam Atem Trumas Hashem. The Pasuk also mentions Hashem in that connection, the Truma of Hashem. Yet later on in our Pasuk, we're going to say that if a man is Mekadesh with Truma, then she is Mekudeshes. And in fact, even that would even apply, even if she's a Bas Yisrael and she can't yet eat that Truma. First of all, Medar Raisa, she would be able to once he's Mekadesh her. But second of all, even if not, even if Medar Bonan that she can't, she could always sell it to another Kohen. But the point is, we see that your Mekadesh with Truma is Mekudeshes. That would also apply to Truma's Meiser. So therefore, so just because it says Hashem doesn't mean that that's off limits for that. The Gemara answers, okay, Deloik Sibbe La Hashem. Fine, but it just says Trumas Hashem, meaning the Truma that Hashem commanded. It doesn't say La Hashem, which implies that it's reserved specifically for Hashem's purposes. All right, the Gemara says, V'ari Chala, Dichtib Botitnu La Hashem. What about Bechala? It does say the expression La Hashem, you should give it La Hashem. That same Mishnah says that if you're Mekadosh with Trumos, then you're Mekadosh, and Trumos means any kind of Truma, including Chalo, which is also called Truma. So just because it says Lashem doesn't mean it's off limits for that. So the Gemara answer is, okay, Deloik Sibbe Kodesh. Fine, but because by Chalo, it doesn't use the word Kodesh, whereas by Maisa Sheni, it said the word Kodesh Lashem. Well, okay, Varishvius, Dichtibok Yovel, he Kodesh to Yelachem. What about Vashvius? It says by Yovel, it says that it should be Kodesh for you. And as far as the Kedusha, there's no difference between the Kedusha of the Paris of Shvius and Yovel. Both of them have the same rules as far as that you can't sell them and you have to eat them, you have to eat them before Zman HaBir, etc. And Utsnana Makadish Paris Shvias Makudeshis. And yet we learned in a Mishnah that if you're Makadish with Paris Shvias Makudeshis, now it doesn't actually say that in so many words in a Mishnah, but we have the case in the earlier Mishnah where a man took a basket of figs of Shemitah and was Makadish five women with it, or actually only three women, because two of them were sisters, whatever. And the point is it was Makudesh. They're all Makudeshis. Why? Because it was Paris Shvias, and therefore it's Hefker, and therefore there was no issue of Gezel, as we learned a couple of days ago. So what we see the implication from that is you can be Makadish with Paris Shvias. Based on what you're saying, that where it says La Shem you can't, then why should you be able to? And the answer is Deloik Sibbe La Hashem. Fine, by Peter Shvias it says Kodesh, but it doesn't say La Hashem. In other words, so far it sounds like the Gemara is saying it needs to say both. It needs to say Kodesh and La Hashem in order for it to not work. Okay. The Gemara says Vari Truma. Well, then that brings us back to Truma. Dichtiv Kodesh Yisrael La Hashem Reishis Tvoa. So the Pasuk in Yirmiya says Yisrael is holy to Hashem, the first of his Tvoa, meaning that the Jewish people are like Hashem's Truma in the world, and therefore, as the Pasuk goes on to say, the same way as if a Zor eats Truma, then he's in big trouble, the same way the Goyim who harass and persecute the Jewish people are also going to be in big trouble. So we see that Truma is called Kodesh, and it's called Lashem, Utnan, and yet Utnan and Makadosh with Truma Makadoshes. Yet the Mishnah later in our Perek says you can be Makadosh with Truma. The answer is Ahubi Sro. See, that's, after all, that Pasuk, fine, it's using a metaphor, but it is basically talking about the Jewish people. So in other words, the Pasuk is saying the Jewish people are Kodesh Lashem. It's not necessarily saying that Truma is Kodesh Lashem. So the Gemara says, okay, so what? V'lav memela shamet mina. Okay, but the fact is, you can also derive from it, the fact that the Pasuk is using Truma as a metaphor for the Jewish people implies that Truma is also Kodesh. You know, the Pasuk is saying Truma is Kodesh, and the same way the Jewish people are Kodesh. So then you're back to the question then. So why shouldn't we say you can't be Mekadesh with Truma? And the answer is Tugma, Rovin Samak, Sova, Kamede Rav. Rovin Sova explained in front of Rav, the reason is it's not just because the Pasuk says Kodesh and Lashem, Omakra Hu, because the Pasuk by Maisa says Kodesh Hu, which or Lashem Hu, rather, implying Bahava Yose Yehe, it remains in its original status, it remains the property of Hashem, and it's given to you only to eat. By Truma, it doesn't say the word Hu. So you don't have that. In fact, a number of Rishonim point out that after all, by Yovel, you have Yovel he and who for this purpose are the same thing. So the Tosfos Rosh gives an answer that what it is you need all three. You need it to say Kodesh and Lashem and who. And there are other explanations that the word who by Shvias, the word he rather by Yovel, whatever, is used for a different drasha, so therefore we don't have it available for this drasha. Whatever the case, the point is that it comes out that yes, if you're Makadosh with Mais or Sheni, it doesn't work because the Pasuk is implying, as we said originally, that it's Mom and Gavoya, but when it comes to Shvias, it's not, and therefore you can be Makadosh with it or with Truma. Okay. Then we said in the Gemara, over Hekdish, and we said in the Mishnah rather, we said, so that takes care of Maaser Sheni. So that explains why, so Reb Meir therefore says, in short, so Reb Meir says that if you're Makadish with Maaser Sheni, whether B'Shoigig or so Reb Meir would say whether Shoigig or Mezid, it's not valid Kiddushin, because it's Mamun Gavoya. Reb Yehuda would say that B'Mezid, you're Makadish. Because he wouldn't learn this limud, he doesn't learn this limud from Kodesh Lashem, etc. And he would say that if it's shogig, then fine, we can say the kedushin are not valid because she wouldn't have accepted it if she knew that it was Maaser Sheni, as the Gemara is going to go on to discuss now. As opposed to if it was Bemezid, they both know that it's Maaser Sheni, then Rabbi Huda doesn't learn this Tirasha, and therefore he would be saying that it's valid kedushin. So now the Mishnah had continued over Hekdish. When it comes to if he's Makadish or with Hekdish, then Bemezid Kiddush B'Shogig like Kiddush Divrei Reb Meir. Then Reb Meir says it would work if it was Bemezid, not if it was B'Shogig, for reasons that we're going to discuss. Reb Yehuda Omer B'Shogig Kiddush Bemezid like Kiddush, and Reb Yehuda says exactly the other way around. So now let's figure out why they say these respective opinions. Omer Reb Yaakov, Shamis Minei de Reb Yochanan Tauti. So Reb Yaakov says, I heard from Reb Yochanan two explanations. Shigas Meiser de Rabbi Huda, Vishigas Hekdish de Rabbi Meir. One was an explanation of why Rabbi Huda would say by Meiser Sheni, if it was Beshogig, that it's not a valid Kedushin. And the other one explaining why Rabbi Meir would say that if it was Hekdish and it was Beshogig, that Shneim ain't Ishimus Kadeshus Behem, that by both of them we know from the Mishnah that a woman would not be Makudish with them, but And the reasons were as follows. Rabbi Yaakov says, Chod l'fisha in isha roitza. One of them would be because the woman doesn't want to be Makodesh with them. If she had known what it was, she wouldn't have accepted it. V'chod l'fisha in shneim roitzim. The other one, Rabbi Yochanan explained that it's because neither of them want it. Which means, in other words, the nafkamina, Rashi says, would be, what if we ask her, what if she says, in one of them, roitza ani, I'm fine, I'm willing to accept it, would we have to ask him whether he's willing to do it as well? Whether he's, now that we know that it's Maaser Sheni or Hekdish, would he still do it? So Rabbi Yaakov says, I learned both of those from Rabbi Yochanan, v'lo yadayna hei minayu, but I don't know which one is which. Which one is it that between Maaser Sheni and Hek, between Maaser Sheni, according to the mayor, or rather according to the Yehuda, and Hekdish, according to the mayor, which one of it is it that we're saying that's Shogig, and she doesn't realize what it is, and if she had not realized what it is, she wouldn't accept the Kedushin, versus which one do we say that we assume that neither of them wants it, and therefore we have to ask both of them and see if they both realize what it is before we can say it's valid Kedushin. So Rabbi Yaakov says, I don't know which one is which. So Rabbi Yumiya says, let's figure it out. Let's work it out. Maaser Sheni, when it comes to Maaser Sheni, whereas we know it has to be taken to Yerushalayim, we can assume ihi la mishul tircha de'urcha. We can assume that she would not want to be Mekudesh with it because of the tircha of the road. In other words, it's gonna be a big hassle. She's gonna have to carry it to Yerushalayim. So we can assume more that if it was Maaser Sheni, if she had known that it was Maaser Sheni, then it would be a matter of that she doesn't want it because it's a tos. So if we ask her and say that, if you knew that it was Maaser Sheni and you have to schlep it to Yerushalayim, would you have accepted it? And she says yes, then that would be valid Kedushin. So far, says Rabbi Yehuda. There is an interesting discussion about this. Now, this is an example. You think about it, the Maaser Sheni is not really worth anything outside Yerushalayim it's not worth anything, but it's worth a lot less outside Yerushalayim. So therefore, don't you have anyway that there isn't the full value over here of what she agreed to Kedushin in the first place. So the Pnei Yeshua says that he learns that once a woman is willing to be miskadish with something that she doesn't really care how much it's worth. So therefore, as long as you have, after we figure out how much Maaser Sheni is worth outside Yerushalayim, of course it's going to be worth a lot less because anybody who's poyde is going to have to take it to Yerushalayim and that costs money. So therefore, they're going to buy it at a discount. But nevertheless, she doesn't care so much about that. And as long as you have a shava pruta here, then she's mekudeshes. The fact is, the Pnei Yeshua says a number of Rishonim disagree with that concept, and say that no, she would be makbid. It does have to be the actual value. And the shita lo no de la mi, in fact, says that that's what we mean by tircha de urcha. She would think that it's payrus of chulin, and she could sell. So I can do whatever I want with them. Fine, I'm not necessarily going to eat so many payrus. I'll sell them to somebody, and she thinks she's going to get the full value. And then it turns out they're maisa sheni, and now there's tircha de urcha. When she wants to sell it to somebody, that somebody would say, well, wait, I have to then schlep it all the way to Yerushalayim. I don't want to do that. If you want to sell it to me, you have to accept the discount. So therefore, so it would come out that that would be that. That's exactly what the tircha de urcha is. Either that she herself has to take it to Yerushalayim, or that she, if she's going to sell it, then the other person is going to say, I have tircha de urcha, and therefore I'm only going to accept, therefore I'm only going to buy it for less than its full value. Anyway, says Rabbi Yemiya, therefore we can assume that in that case of Maisa Sheni, it's the woman who doesn't want the Kiddushin if she knows that it's Maisa Sheni. On the other hand, Ihu Nichale, the Nikne Itzimamela. On the other hand, the man would have a hana from it. He would say, fine, it's all the better. I get a wife for free. After all, like this, I would have to take the fruit to Yerushalayim. Instead, I can be Makadish her and then put the burden on her to take it to Yerushalayim. So sure, I'm good with that. So therefore, Rabbi Yemiya says, since Rabbi Yochanan explained that one of the two cases in the Mishnah is where she is Shogig, then therefore we can assume this is the one. So now, if we ask her, you realize this is Maisa Sheni fruit, do you care? Then, and she says, no, I don't care, it's fine, I can accept it, then that would be valid Kiddushin. On the other hand, Ella Hektish, but when it comes to Hektish, is different. Tavayu le-nichalohu denatchil Hektish al-yadayu. Neither of them wants that Hektish should become chulin through them, because that's an Aveira, after all, that's Me'ila. And what happens is when he gives it as Kiddushin, it becomes Cholin because it goes out of the Rishos of Hektish. So therefore, so we can assume neither one of them wants that Aveira to be done through them. So therefore, it's more logical to say that Rabbi Yochanan's explanation that involves that both of them are Shogig is referring to that one, is referring to the case of Hektish. So therefore, even if we ask her, this is Hektish, are you willing to accept it? And she says, yes, that still wouldn't help us unless we also ask him. And then if we ask him and he says, I know it's Hektish, I'm doing it anyway, then it's Mazid already, then there's no Shogig here at all. So therefore, Rabbi Yemiya says, you, Rabbi Yaakov, don't know which explanation Rabbi Yochanan said for which one. I'll tell you. However, the Gemara says, Rabbi Yaakov. Now, what does Rabbi Yaakov answer to that? Why couldn't he figure that out himself? He says, Omar, he can answer, Ipcha mistabra mila ikalamemer. Why can't you just as well flip around the svaris and say the other way around as well? You could argue like this, Maisu ila nichala mishum tircha de urcha. You could argue by Maisu, it is true, like you, Rabbi Yirmiyahu, are saying, she wouldn't want to accept Maisu as Kedushin because there's a tircha of taking it to Yerushalayim. But you could argue, on the other hand, you could argue he would also have a reason to not want to be Makadish with Maisa Sheni, and therefore we should say that if he knew it was Maisa Sheni, he wouldn't be Makadish. Why? Because of the oinus on the road. Now, what does that mean? So Rashi explains like this. Rashi gives two explanations. The first explanation is, the fact is, it does have to be brought to Yerushalayim. Again, it's not really a shava pruta over here even, because you can eat it only on Yerushalayim. And if you sell it, then the money gets the kedusha of Maisa Sheni, and you have to take the money to Yerushalayim. So one way or the other, something needs to be brought to Yerushalayim. So therefore, it's not a shava pruta. So therefore, because of that, he wouldn't have been Mekadesh with it if he had known it wasn't a shava pruta. And after all, Rashi also adds that an oinus on the road is much more likely to happen with her than with him. So Adraba, therefore, by giving it to her, he's making things worse. He's making it even less likely that it's going to end up in Yerushalayim and be able to be used. That's Rashi's first explanation. Rashi's second explanation is that he doesn't want that she's going to get upset and say, what is this? You gave me Kiddushin, something that I can't even have Hana with, because I would have to get it all the way to Yerushalayim, and it's hard to do that, and there was an onus on the way, and now it ended up that you gave me something which I didn't even end up benefiting from. Tosfos discusses at some length over here and asks some questions on Rashi's first explanation. Among other things is that Now you can be poydet outside your shalayim, and then you're poydet with money, and therefore the money itself. So therefore, it does have a certain monetary value outside your shalayim. So how can Rashi say in his first explanation that it's not worth a shava pruta until you reach your shalayim? So therefore, Tosfos prefers Rashi's second explanation, that what we mean is the husband can say, I don't want her to complain. I don't want her to say that in the end, that look, you gave me my sasheni. I never was even able to eat it because before I got to Yerushalayim, there was an onus on the road and I lost it or whatever happened to it. And therefore, we can assume if he knew, says so, therefore, Rabbi Yaakov would say, Fakeut, you would say if he knew it was my sasheni, he wouldn't have wanted to do kedushin with it in the first place. Different other Rishonim point out over here an interesting point in this, that this is an example of you have the case we learned earlier in the Masechta Shema Shava Pruta B'Modai, where you can have a case where something over here is not worth a pruta, but it's worth a pruta someplace else. Here you have an example of that, because Maisa Sheni, after all, you can't eat it outside of your shalayim, so it's not considered. As in Rashi's first explanation, it's not considered a shava pruta, but it's worth a shava pruta in Yerushalayim. But wouldn't at least be kedushay suffik? And the fact is, we're not saying over here kedushay suffik either. So that's another reason to prefer Rashi's second explanation. It's not a matter of whether it's actually worth or not. It's a matter of that the man can say, if I'd known it was my sushani, I wouldn't have given it to her for kedushin, because then it's likely that she's going to end up complaining that it didn't work out. Okay, on the other hand, continues Rabbi Yaakov, Ela Hekdish. So now, on the other hand, when it comes to Hekdish, Bishlema Ihi Lenichala, you can say, fine, she doesn't want to Natchil Hekdish Al Yada. She wouldn't want that Hekdish should become Cholin through her, because again, that's an Aveda, and we can assume she wouldn't have wanted an Aveda to be done through her. Instead, she could say, look, why are you Makadish me in a way of Isser? Be Makadish me in a way of Heter. And even though it is true a woman wants to get married more than a man, but still she wouldn't want it when it involves an aveira. On Elaihu Mila Nichalei the Nikna Itzememela, you could argue that he would say, "What do I care? I'm getting a wife out of it one way or the other. Fine, I'm doing an aveira meila, no problem. Okay, I'll pay back Hekdish afterwards. I'll deal with the aftermath of it." So therefore, so Rabbi Yaakov says, Fakir, it's true, Rabbi Yirmiya, you could learn Rabbi Yochanan's two explanations the way you said, but you could also use my logic to say that you could understand them the other way around. That is why Rabbi Yaakov says, I'm not sure which one is which. Which one do we say that it's up to her to decide whether she wants it or not, versus which one would they both have to decide it? Okay, so the Gemara leaves it at that. The Gemara continues, Bamine Rovim Erachista. Isha in Miskadeshis. Fine. Let's establish that according to the mayor, we know that if it was Hekdish and he's Makadish B'Shoigig, we say the woman is not Makodish, as we said in the Mishnah. Mois Maush Yetzel Chulin, nevertheless, did the attempted Kiddushin have enough of an effect on the money that now the money becomes Chulin? In general, when a person takes something of Hekdish and uses it for his own purposes, he's committed me'ila, but what happens is the money, if he does it b'shoigig, then the object becomes cholin. So now the question is, he was Makadish b'shoigig, he attempted to be Makadish b'shoigig, and Rameir is saying it's not valid kedushin, but nevertheless, is that an attempt enough to make the money now cholin? Omalei, so he says, what are you asking? Isha in miskadeshes, if the woman is not Makudish, how is the money going out L'cholin? The fact is, in order for them to become Cholin, it has to be they were used for some kind of purpose of Cholin. Well, they weren't actually used because according to the mayor, they weren't actually used. The Shita Lo Noda Lami explains that, look, even according to the mayor, Hekdish could be Mechulal, whether B'Shoigig or B'Mezid. It really has more to do with Kedushay Tos, like we just said. So therefore, maybe that's strong enough to make it that the money should go Lecholin. And then there's different other explanations among Mefoshim. Is Pnei Yeshua says something similar, Rava is wondering, is the reason why Enema Kodeshes is Kedushi Tos? Well, then you could say, even fine, the Kedushin are not Chal because of the Tos, but nevertheless, the Hekdish is Mischalal, or is the reason is because Hekdish can't be Mischalal at all, B'Shoigig, and then therefore the money remains when it's Kedusha. So Rabbi Chaim Chista is answering him that no, the two things go together. If there's no Kedushin, then the money doesn't become full. And similarly, Bamine Reb Chiya ba'oven Merav Chista, Reb Chiya ba'oven then asked Reb Chista b'mecher mai, what about if instead of Kiddushin, what if we're talking about a sale? A person buys something with money of Hektish, and it was b'shoigig, according to, he didn't know that it was Hektish money, then according to the mayor, would the Kinyan work? Is it only the mayor is saying you can't do the Kiddushin, or is it that you can't do anything with it? And the Pnei Yeshua again explains similarly to with Rava's question that the question is within where Rava had the suffix why it is that the Kedushin don't work according to the mayor. So Rav Chiya Ba'oven has a similar question as far as sales. Is it because Hektish can't be Meschalo at all B'shogig? So the same thing would apply to a Kinyan. Or would it be because Kedushin Tos, and then in that case by a Kinyan, then the Tos is not. When would we say there's a toast if you bought something and it turned out it wasn't what you expected, but not necessarily if it's that the money is valid as money, it's just Hektish, then you would say, okay, he has to reimburse him the appropriate amount. So Rav Chista answers him, after mecho lekona, by a sale also, it's not a valid sale. And the reason is because in both questions, Rav Chista holds that if you did me'ila b'shoigig, then the thing does not become cholin. Only if you do b'mezid, then it would become cholin. But if it's b'shoigig, so Tosfos refers to an idea that Gemara mentions elsewhere. Wherever the thing is, it's still in Hashem's treasury because the whole world belongs to Hashem. So therefore, so the mayor would say that if it's b'mezid, then the hektish is mischalo. But if it was b'shoigig, then not, because it's still considered wherever it is, it still belongs to Hashem. Well, the Gemara says esve. So Rav Chiya Ba'oven says to Rav Chista, in that case, I have a contradiction. A Braisa says or Mishnah actually says that you have a case over there where a Gizbar deposits money for safekeeping he deposits money of Hektish by a money changer, and a money changer is constantly in need of coins, and the Gizbar ties it up, but he ties it with a plain kind of knot. So therefore, so it's true that because it's tied up, the Shulchani is not allowed to use that money, or not actually plain knot or whatever. If it's tied, then the Shulchani is not allowed to use that money. Therefore, if he does end up using the money, then the Shulchani is the one responsible from Ela, because he had no business taking it out in the first place. On the other hand, if the money was given to him unbundled, or the Gemara explains over there to me, it was bundled, but it was tied up, but not with an unusual kind of knot. So the Shulchani figures, he just tied it up for convenience so the coins don't scatter, but not that I'm not allowed to use it. Then implicitly, it means he's being given permission to use it. And if he does use it, then the Gizbar is the one who committed Me'ila because he did it with his Rishus. Because he knows, after all, Shulchani constantly needs money. On the other hand, continues the Mishnah, if the Gizbar does the same thing with a regular Balabayas, then either way, the Balabayas is chayev, because the Balabayas doesn't need coins as often, and therefore he shouldn't assume that he has any permission to use this Pekodin at all. Now, what happens? Now we pick up in the middle of the Mishnah, Chenveni Kabalabayas Divir Rameir. Rameir says that if the Gizbar deposited the money for safekeeping by a storekeeper without telling him it's Hektish money and without tying it up, then Kabalabayas, he has the same din as a Balabayas, he's still not allowed to use the money. And if he did, then the Chenveni is the one who has to pay for Mila. Divir Rameir, Rabbi Yehuda, and the Chenveni Kashulchani. And Rabbi Yehuda says a storekeeper is like a money changer. In other words, the question boils down to a money changer is constantly needing coins. A balabayas, not so much. A chenveni is someplace in the middle. He needs coins for his business, but not necessarily as much as a shulchani and not as little as a balabayas. And therefore, you have the machlokes which one he's like. So Rav Chiya Ba'oven says, Ad kan loy kamiflugi ela de mar sov a chenveni ka shulchani or mar sov a chenveni ka balabayas. So the machlokes is fine. What's the status of a chenveni? How much does he need money, and therefore how close is he to a shulchani versus how close is he to a balabais? Abel de kula almeim hoitzi mal. They both seem to agree on the basic idea that if he spends the coins, then he's committed me'ila. So we see this is a case of a sale. So in hoitzi mal, that means, in other words, the sale that he does with the thing he sold from his store is valid, and the money becomes cholin. So you see that even b'shoigig, So you see that Beshogig, even though the mayor says in the mission over here, you can't be Makadish Beshogig, but when it comes to sales, is different. So what are you telling, what are you, Rav Chista, telling me that with sales, that with a sale, if the money was given Beshogig, then the sale wouldn't be valid? The answer is Rav Meir, the Devarav de Rav Yehuda, comma, because Rav Meir is not saying his own opinion. He's saying according to Rav Yehuda. He's saying, Lididi, as far as I'm concerned, im hotzi loy moal, if he spent the money, then he's not committing, neither one has committed me'ila because it's shogig, and there's no me'ila when it comes to shogig. Because again, the money, wherever it is, belongs to Hashem. But you, Rabbi Yehuda, who hold that there can be that when there's a shogig in me'ila, the money does become cholin. At least you should agree with me that a storekeeper is like a balabais. He's not allowed to use the money in the first place. And if he did, then he's the one who committed me'ila. But Amalei, and Rabbi Yehuda says, no, kishulchani. No, I would still say that a chenveni is like a shulchani, and he has permission implicitly to use the money in the first place. And therefore, if he does, then it's the gizbar's fault, and the gizbar is going to be chayev for me'ila. So that Mishnah, Rav Meir is saying, Rav Meir implicitly is saying that if it was a shogig, then Me'ila has not only been accomplished, but the money becomes chulin. Rav Meir himself doesn't hold that, but he's saying, according to Rav Yehuda, you at least should say that a chenveni and a shulchani, that a chenveni and a balabais have the same din as far as that. So they're arguing on that side point, but they're also implicitly arguing on whether a shogig, whether the money becomes cholin at all in the first place, where the mayor holds no, and Rabbi Yehuda holds yes. So we'll continue tomorrow, Best Hashem, with a discussion of this point about according to the mayor, under what circumstances is hektish going to become cholin and whatnot. We're gonna get into dinim of me'ila tomorrow, Best Hashem.